Good morning, everybody. I am going to hopefully lead an active discussion on Romans chapter 14 this morning. And I'm not the kind of guy who can just figure out what I want to say and then remember it after a couple of days, so I have to write stuff down. But we're going to be talking about our brothers and sisters who might be weak in the faith, why they might be weak in the faith, and how we are to treat and judge them. We're going to read this chapter probably in about three or four different sections. We'll read the verses in chapter 14, and then we'll discuss them. And we're going to be reading about, and what I'd like to do is, instead of, you'll see in chapter 14 here, we'll start off with Paul talking about passing judgment on people who are weak in the faith because they can't. They can't decide whether or not to eat meat or be vegetarians and stuff like that, which was, I'm sure, very important back in Paul's time. But I'm going to kind of bring that up to the 2016 level. Instead of talking about meat and vegetables and religious holidays and stuff like that, we're going to talk about things that can make us weak in 2016. I hope you don't mind, but that's I just thought we'd kind of modernize everything here a little bit, if that's okay. But starting off, you know, I was thinking the other day that you know, Christianity is like a one-room schoolhouse. You've got on any given Sunday, in any given church or classroom, you've got people in there that are like new babes in Christ, and you've got people in there that are old, salty veterans. And sooner or later, the knowledge of the new people, the new babes in Christ, and the knowledge of the veterans, it's all going to clash. And it's going to possibly create some problems, but we need to come together, and all levels of understanding in that one room classroom situation is going to require a great deal of patience on everybody's part, so that we can figure out how to understand each other and build each other up and edify each other. But so we're going to talk about the things today that that may answer the question of what we're supposed to do about those things that the Bible does not specifically address. You know, like everything from how should we dress, how should we entertain ourselves, types of activities that are appropriate for Christians. And I think Romans 14 does a good job of teaching us some principles for making decisions such as these in our lives. So chapter 14, Romans chapter 14, tells us a lot about how to make these decisions and how to deal with other Christians. And like I mentioned before, in the one-room classroom scenario, all Christians are at different stages of maturity. And God deals with each person differently according to their level of maturity. The main thing is to be obedient to the Word of God, of course, and sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading our lives. There are many things that the Bible draws a very distinct line, where the Bible draws a very distinct line of right and wrong. There are practical day-to-day activities and behaviors that the Bible does not address directly. The principles from God's Word to God. We need the principles of God's Word to guide us in those areas. And Romans 14 is one of those chapters that do a very good job of guiding us. So I'm looking for a volunteer to read chapters 1 through 6, or verses 1 through 6 of chapter 14. Cora, thank you. Yes, that's fine. Thank you. Thank you very much. So, and a lot of things are going to be the same, but what influences in 2016 are around us that make us weak Christians? Back then, the people. Back in Paul's time here, these first six verses that are being described, the Christians, there were some Christians who were stuck on obeying the old law, or thought they should continue to observe parts of it, maybe not some other parts, and those were the weak Christians. And then there were those Christians who just picked up their torches and just followed Christ, and those were the new and the strong Christians. So what today can make a weak Christian? What forces are around us today that can make us weak Christians? Things of the world can make, when you turn on the news in the afternoons and evenings, and you hear all these stories about all these people getting killed and murdered and heads chopped off and all that kind of stuff, that can make us weak. No doubt about it. There are outside forces, the people we pick as mentors, or people we follow on the news. The political situation, of course, right now is pretty interesting, to say the least. But there are lots of different influences out there that can make us weak. But another reason we can be weak is that a person could have been recently baptized. They're definitely weak. They could have a person, a new Christian, can have just not enough teaching or bad teaching. People can be leading them down the wrong path, and they don't even know it. But that definitely makes them weak. There's so many things out there in the world today that can make us weak. I think a person can start off weak, study and become a strong Christian like we think Paul is, and Paul is definitely a strong Christian, but then they become weak again. They kind of fall by the wayside and become weak again. But lots of different reasons out there, and lots of different influences that can make us weak. Yes.
I think our strength is in God. You know, we can't make ourselves strong, but we rely on God, and we have strength. We follow that for us. We'll be strong through Him. So I think anything that takes us away from relying on God makes us weak. You know, it's like draining God's strength away from us.
The problem with brothers and sisters who are weak in Christ is that it's so easy for the others, for our brothers and sisters who think they're strong in Christ, to judge the weak Christians. And it's that is something we should never, ever, ever do. It's up to God to judge all of us individually. And we should not ever pass judgment on people who are weak. We should, if we determine them in our minds that maybe that they are weak, we should offer to have a Bible study with them or something like that. Don't heap down a bunch of condemnation on them because you think they're weak, and maybe they are weak. But we shouldn't pass judgment on those new Christians, weak Christians that are not as strong as other Christians. We should try to help them. We should try to study with them, offer to study with them, build them up, edify them, and make them as strong as we are. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I like you're saying there too. Even when you start using the term weak and strong, you're not very correct in your statement. It's strong. Yeah. You know, and I'm not saying, and you bring it out here, make a point to make your stand is again, change the line of doing what you're doing, which will cover 15 minutes for the 5 to 1st, before red. And then, you know, again, understanding the avenues to God forgive us. So those when you have a weak moments, such as remembering the symbol of the saints, so you can encourage them to remind us that you know what, we may have failed. It's okay. But you're still a child of God. You're still trying to try out for the cross, to be like Christ and so forth, have that cooperation with the Father. There's a thing I'm weak. You know,
oh, me too.
And so I believe that encouragement from those people in the areas where I'm weak. And so it's, going against what you said, but it's, you know, you said, okay, he's a weak brother, he's a strong brother. I don't know, maybe so, but yet,
that's
each other.
Yeah.
As Catholics say, it's got to be under the guard of God.
I think we can use the session here as the past session, you know, concerning kind of the foster
accountability
of the session. Instead of not the session, it's being trying to become accountable and responsible to discern if the dad, like the mom, was not being good or not, who needs how that could assist them. Absolutely, as you said. And then sometimes the weakness comes from the world, and sometimes we have it within ourselves,
Yeah, I think our strength and our faith, changes every day, if not by the hour. And some days we need a lot of help, and some days we're pretty good on our own. But when we do need help, that's what we need is help. We don't need to be, criticized or judged. In these first six verses, Paul uses a food analogy, but the application is to many more things than just food. He says that some Christians are stronger and weaker than others. He's referring to their spiritual maturity again, and not their physical condition. In this maturity, some come to the place where they realize that the food that's going into the body is not what makes something clean or unclean. It's the attitude that a person has eating the food that can defile his body. Excuse me. And there are. We are given the freedom to choose in the areas that the Bible does not directly address. Paul tells us not to judge one another, but to make the decision to eat or drink based on how the Holy Spirit is guiding us in verses 2 and 3 there. We have no right to judge God's people. They have the same liberty as we have. They belong to God, therefore allow God to be responsible for his own people, like it says in verse 4. Paul gives us another example in honoring special days in verses 5 and 6. When whether someone celebrates a holiday in the same way as we do is not as important as honoring God in the celebration. God should be the focus and not the food or special day. Being completely convinced that you are honoring God in your actions is the key. Maturity comes when you have given serious thought to participate or abstain from certain activities, which is mentioned in verses 5 and 6.
I have a friend of mine in Gillette at Lumber who owns a company, and they were one of our clients for a while. And I would send him a birthday card on his birthday, a Christmas card at Christmas time. And then one year, right after Christmas, in February, I go over to have him meeting. And it came up that he was a Jehovah's Witness. And all of a sudden I realized that they don't like celebrate birthdays or Christmas, mm-hmm. those days, and you know, no day is supposed to be special. So after me, whatever, I apologize for doing that. And he said, don't worry about it. He said, I really appreciated the thought. Mm-hmm. He said, if it came from my son, and I kind of chuckled, okay.
So in a recap here of verses 1 through 6, it's for one, it's very important not to pass judgment on one who may be weak in the faith for whatever the reason may be. I can remember a time, and this is a long, long time ago. In fact, I was in high school. That's how long ago it was. But and this happened to me personally, and it took me a while to get over it. But I was in high school, and we had a pep rally at school one day, and there were, I think we were getting ready to go to the state tournament or something. It was a big deal, so they were having this pep rally, And lots of people were there. They had lots of different speakers trying to get everybody fired up for this tournament we were going to. But there was this girl in high school who was in my Sunday school class every Sunday morning, along with all the other high school Church of Christ students, and we were a pretty tight knit group. But she was, for some reason, invited to speak at this assembly, and so she did. And she was pretty popular in school at the time, and she said some things that I found out later during that. She said some things during that pep rally that I found out later that some people didn't care about. And she wasn't trying to be mean or nasty or anything like that. She was a teenager, and she was said some things about some guys and their girlfriends and where they were last night and all kinds of stuff like that, just teenage stuff. But I found out later that there were a couple of Church of Christ ladies in the audience that day at the pep rally, and they thought that her little speech or presentation there at the pep rally wasn't all that proper. And I heard a couple of days later, and like I said, I didn't think too much about it. It's kids will be kids, and I didn't think there was anything terrible in it. But a couple of days later, I heard at my house, I heard my mom on the phone, I think with one of these ladies, and they were talking back and forth. And after she hung up the phone, she told me, and these two ladies were elders' wives, and they were there. They had daughters who were cheerleaders, and they were there to watch their daughter do these cheerleading drills at the pep assembly. But she said that these two ladies didn't think that this girl's presentation at the pep rally was very Christian-like, and I thought, well, it really didn't concern me, but I didn't think it was right that these two ladies called my mom and talked to her about it without talking to the girl about it. I just didn't think that was right. And so a couple of nights later, I ran into this girl at the root beer stand there in town. And we were talking back and forth for several minutes, and I, for some reason, brought that up. And I wish I wouldn't have. but anyway, so she goes racing home and tells her mother, and then the mess got bad after that. So You know, lots of people were walking around with hurt feelings and upset about all kinds of different things. And I was part of the cause of it. But I waited a couple of days, and things weren't getting any better, so I got in my car, and I drove over to these two ladies' houses. It was a weekday afternoon after school. And knocked on the door. They invited me to come in, and I apologized to them face to face, both of them, and their husbands. And that kind of cured, that kind of smoothed everything over for a while, but it was pretty intense before that. I'll never forget it, I just, at the time, I can remember thinking that, you know, if they were unhappy with this girl's performance or speech there at the pep assembly, then they should be talking to her, not my mother. That's what can happen when we try to judge people without talking to them about it first. That was the best way out for me anyway. I'm glad. I'm still glad to this day that I did it. We were, I can say that I was very close to those two ladies and their husbands the rest of the time I lived in Gillette, and even after I moved away. We stayed in contact with each other over the different holidays and birthdays and stuff, but at the time, that was kind of my train of thought, and that led up to some terrible, terrible stuff. But I agree. Okay, let's move on here. Would somebody please read verses 7 through 12?
And not one of us lives for himself, and not one died for himself. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whoever will live or die, you are Lord. For this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of death and of living. But you, why do you judge brother? Or are you him? Why do you regard your brother with contempt? We shall all stand before judgment and seat of God. For it is written, if I live, said the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each one of us shall give account of himself to God.
Thanks, Dave. And right there, it's all spelled out in black and white that the Lord will do all the judging. It's not up to us to judge anybody. That's like I said, that's a hard thing to do. 9 times out of 10, especially when I meet somebody new, whether they're a Christian or not. It's hard to stop, but I just do a quick judgment, and I try to determine my opinion of somebody right away, and that's just not that, and that's a weakness I have. Of course, I'm weak anyway, but I work on that, but I struggle with it.
I think part of it is that's like for the impression, you want to give up, but that's the impression to people, to new people. It's not your thing, whatever. First impression, people just naturally.
Right.
I think it's important that we look at our judge. This is what typically we look at. First of all, the Bible says we are to judge those who are in the Bible. So we have to get our judge means, and like Timothy said, to determine is appropriate. To see the person's faith, to see what someone is doing that is not there for, or incorrect, or whatever. And it's called for us to determine whether they're being difficult about something or not. The judge, you are the executioner, that's not us. And so that's the difference in that word. We are to determine if it was what the court of scripture, so we're not to be the judge and the executioner, which is really not the act.
Yeah.
So that determining word really is
important. I think it's human nature of his person. And then, whether it's all for the law, right? You become a teacher, and all of that, and you're taking that out, or do you have a pure heart, and you're still out there to, help edify, come together, learn, whatever,
happens. I think what's very important is that we can, we're called to help one another, but each other up, share the love, share the love. I'm not prepared, but there was some other word, such as the word judgment. Yeah, but not judgment, not corrupting my nature or anything. But if I'm falling into sin, I'm hoping one of you either makes a judgment that him falling into sin, we need to go intervene and help him. And I think that is critical. Not that anyone is examining God as accepting the image and whatever, but could just say, I'm not going to be dead, I'm not doing anything, but God being God is doing it as well. Maybe it isn't yet, and maybe I can be brought back to where I should be, but I think I'm being judgment of determination. But other words would be discernment that I need to know. No, I think we should.
I think it can hurt here as well. But they need to go to where they're not in God.
Right.
Because you were so right in that situation. I look around this room and we've all already pulled together. And it was not from that. And we've all made mistakes in addressing our own children, in addressing other people's children. We've all made mistakes in how we handle situations. And it's been a wonderful time for being in a situation. So we have to have, within the body, we have to have such grace with each other because, you know, Kathy might not agree with something I did with Chloe, but she loves me and she loves Chloe. And so she told me to call Chloe, even if I disagree with her, I fall apart. So I think those things, when you're close enough, those things can happen better. I think when it's really difficult, it's the two ways you mentioned, they don't really know that girl. It would be easier to just have judgment on her instead of attorney. You know, I think she's going to mature. Let's spend some time with her and help her mature gently. I think that's the difference in how, you know, how we need to handle things because we make ourselves the judge. And once we do discern, or that something, you know, because we do have a mind, we do have logic, I think how we carry that out is the big issue. And then once we carry it out, like you did, follow through to make mistakes, that's hard, that's very hard, but that's necessary. But then that first spell, in the end, for many of those who give an account of themselves to God, reminding yourself that ultimately we'll stand before God and they will stand before God alone. And you can't decide for everybody how they will act, what they will decide to do, or judge them to not to tell, but judge them to out of church, judge them to you're not right, or judge them to, you know, being of course right. And we're not talking about things that are so scripture, we're talking about everyday decisions that we all have to make. That we're at this where and over here, or they drive and up on and how they run. You know, all of things that we've all gone through. And so, I think verse 12 is just so important for us to rely on it. And remember, we're not God, we've got it.
And he's the one that's going to do all the judging. Yeah. All right.
Yes.
I agree. We need God and His Word giving direction in our lives all the time. I know I certainly need people to stand near me and show me what God has to say about certain things, but it's like Jim says, we should, you know, without jumping to a quick judgment, we should always be mindful of a person's spiritual needs and make that our first priority. And it brings, and this is this is a situation where I feel I'm pretty weak. But I remember not long after I moved to Spearfish, Alan invited me out to lunch one day. And one of the questions, and we talked back and forth for an hour, but one of the questions he asked me, he said, is there anything I can do for you spiritually? And I thought, what a great thing for this shepherd to ask you. What a great thing that was. But I don't, you know, when I, and this is one of my problems, when I meet a new Christian or a weak Christian or any kind of a Christian, that thought's not first on my mind a lot of times. And that's not right. It should be, but for me sometimes, and I don't know why, I'm working on it, but for me sometimes it's just not there. And that's where I personally, that's a weak area for me. But like I say, I'm working on it. I get caught up on worldly things, and it just, especially when I was working, not so much now, let's jump ahead here and have somebody read Romans verses 13 through 19. Verses 13 through 19, please.
Therefore, let us not cast judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide from them to put some of our enemies in the way of the brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus Christ, their devotees, that nothing is unclean in itself. It is unclean for anyone who thinks it is unclean. For if brothers do by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love by what you eat. Do not destroy anyone or lose our sight. Do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever does not serve Christ is acceptable to God and true by the name. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual love.
Thank you. So instead of judging others, we're instructed to judge our own actions toward others. Paul says not to put anything in our brother's way that would cause him to stumble and fall in verse 13. Sometimes something that we've determined to be perfectly fine and appropriate is something somebody else has determined to be wrong. Whether that is a stronger or weaker brother, Paul says that maybe you should abstain from that activity for the other person's sake. In verses 14 and 15. This is the law of love, surrendering your own liberties for the benefit of those around you. There are things in life that are more important, obviously, than food or entertainment. These things are righteousness, peace, joy, edification of other believers. And those are the activities that should captivate our attention. Stay away from doubtful things and focus on building up other believers. We just got done talking about that. So let's finish up here pretty quick. Let's have somebody read the last three verses, or four verses, 20 to 23, please.
You have to learn the word of God, which takes food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and uses them. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to eat anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have in your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself to what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned to eat because his eating is not from faith.
Thank you.
So moving toward the conclusion of this discussion here this morning, the conclusion is that we should abstain from those things that are a hindrance to others. Even if there is no biblical command to abstain, we should live for the sake of building up others and not just for our own desires, as we've discussed. And that's mentioned in verses 20 and 21. This also means that we should allow other Christians the liberty to live in the way that God has led them without being judgmental about it. Unfortunately, we probably all know Christians who are controlling and demanding. I know I grew up around a bunch of them, but back way down south, things were pretty tight. But those kind of Christians, they don't want you. They don't want to let you live by faith in God, His Word, or the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Brothers try to take the place of God in your life. We shouldn't let anybody ever do that, ever. You have your hand up? Okay.
One thing I think is important to read from the second half of the chapter, that the word stumble or stumbling block doesn't mean something in your life. It doesn't mean something that you don't occur. It means putting someone into sin. It means doing something that mentally causes their relationship with God to be bad.
Right.
I think that's important because if that happens, you can't. I have to say that if you are claiming to have, been the stumbling block, you're claiming that you have stumbling block in you, most likely that's not a stumbling block, kind of thing. This is a brother that is deep in the faith, and he sees the first thing in Jacob, and he sees the brother you meet, he thinks it's wrong, he does, and now he's present in the relationship with God.
Right.
It's not just a thing that simply, like something that we're going to prefer, something that might a little bit of evidence, like a worship assembly or something like that. Mm-hmm. Now, if that does happen, you let the first half of that. What Paul's talking about when we were blind was that you are not, I've heard this from a preacher of mine saying, you're not allowed to have an opinion about someone or something about that person that's been talking. The thing that Paul talks about when we're talking about the first half is that if you discern or have these determinations, that's the spur you want to action to talk to the person and not ask your intent on that. Not going back to the second half of that and say that this person saw another one upon me, both of me. At that stage, it's worth distinction between these things. And I fear that we often sometimes use perhaps a good book of Christian claim that you call it a stumble when in fact it's nowhere near that serious. It's just something that we've got out of life. Which then represents the first half, meaning you should talk to the person rather than an individual publicly about what's going on.
Right. I agree.
I think it's important that we remember two things about this chapter. First is, we can talk about discernment, judgment, and determination. We're not judging or discerning or determining the person. We are judging and determining or determining action. So, we are commanded, like Jerry said, to make judgments against good and evil. God help us to, resist the devil and help people avoid the very appearance of evil. Things like that. How are we supposed to know if people are not unless we make judgments about it? We have to know the difference between good and evil, and we have to make a discernment there. But we're discerning the actions of people, we're not discerning the person. And for their part, but we're also living in that we're talking about Christians here. We are making the truth about our brother in Christ. We can't expect non-Christians to live by Christian standards. Yes, we can discern what there is, they're doing something wrong, but they're not Christians. they're worldly people. They live in the world. They're going to be worldly things. So we can't, you know, judge them according to a Christian standard. You know what I'm saying? So we got to be, we're there to help our brothers. You know, like Jake said, we should be a brother. All we can is our responsibility to take them.
Yes.
And that's our brotherly Christian relationship that we need to have. But we're not judging them. We're judging their actions. We're judging, we're saying, I love the brother, but this is not good. What are you doing? You know, I made a determination. The Bible has convicted you as far as what you're doing because, you know, we need to go back to the Word and see you if it's right or wrong. That's the judgment that we made. So we can help our brothers
in
that way, but we're not
judging
them
for that. We're judging action. I agree. I guess in closing, we need to continually pray that we are mature enough to know the difference between somebody who's trying to help us grow in maturity and those who aren't. Somebody who's like wanting to be a bully in the name of God, but also realize that God can use these people to cause you to think about your activities. We need to remember that a mature Christian is one who's made a conscientious decision about whether they should or should not engage in a certain practice. In the final two chapters. In the final two verses of chapter 14, Paul gives us a principle for making decisions. Have faith in God and allow Him to lead. You should be completely convinced that your activities honor God all the time. If you're not sure, then stop doing them. Seek God's direction in that activity and live a life of faith and not of doubt. Class is over. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day and the privilege you've given all of us to gather in this building and to worship you. We pray for classes going on all over the country this morning. Father, bless those who are willing to learn, are trying to learn, and bless those that are teaching them. Be with us now as we end our Bible study here this morning. Go with us through the continuation of our service on this beautiful Lord's Day morning. Be with us. Guide, guard, and protect us. We know you're a strong and loving God, and we know you've made the supreme sacrifice for us. Be with us so that we may live up to your expectations. This is our prayer in your Son's most holy and precious name. Amen.